So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. The seal was the symbol of governing earthly authorities. Throughout much of history, kings used seals and signet rings to press their personal insignia into official communications. And how it worked was that the sealing wax was melted into place and the signet pressed into it to leave an impression that was very difficult to counterfeit. And then if the seal was broken, everybody would know that things had been tampered with. And there's a dramatic example in Daniel chapter 6, which reads like this. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the lion's den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Well, you know how that turned out. God protected Daniel in the lion's den. At the tomb of Jesus, where the stone met the surrounding wall, the wax would be melted into place and the seal pressed in to mark the closing of the tomb as being done under the authority of Rome. If anyone dared to break the seal and take away the body of Jesus, they would have the whole authority and wrath of the Roman government pursuing them. It was a serious thing. That's why the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate to ask for this to be done. And one of the loose ends then is that after the seal is broken by the power of God on Easter morning, the chief priests have to go to Pilate to forestall and stop the investigation and the wrath of Rome looking into these things. And so the guards are stationed and the seal put in place. And meanwhile, across Jerusalem, the disciples are hiding in fear of the Jews, but it is like the song says, neither could the gates of death, nor the tomb's dark portal, nor the watchers, nor the seal hold him as a mortal. Well, they can guard the tomb and seal the stone and defend against those hiding in fear disciples, guard against them mounting an assault on the tomb with Peter's fishing net, Matthew's pen and ledger tools, and assorted other odds and ends. What? Against the disciples, the hiding and fear disciples mounting this assault on the tomb to overcome the Roman soldiers and stealing the dead body of Jesus and then spreading a false report and keeping the dead body hidden and telling everybody that he had risen and sticking with their story until confronted with admit that it's a lie or else die, and then sticking with their story and welcoming death in the name of Jesus. Well, they can guard against that, can't they? What they can't guard against is the power of God raising Jesus and a risen and glorious body of Jesus being seen by all kinds of groups of his disciples, including, as Paul tells it, at one time by over 500 of the brethren, who, as Paul writes that letter to the Corinthians, most of whom are still alive. That you can't defend against, no matter how many soldiers you put in place and no matter what promise and threat of imperial authority and wrath is bound up in the seal. And it all turns opposite. As the guards guard the tomb, they and the seal guard us against any idea of a false or faked resurrection of Jesus, which we didn't want in the first place, did we? The seal is the symbol of the earthly powers, those kingdoms and governments that come and go and gain and lose power on earth, but there is a greater power that is coming and is being set up. Back to Daniel. The next chapter is chapter 7, and the visions of the night are where Daniel sees one like a son of man coming and being seated with great authority and power, and it is Christ, and it is the kingdom of life. And the earthly powers that think they are in charge, one after another, Pharaoh, the kings of Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and mighty Rome, they learn who is truly in charge. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For those 3 days in Jerusalem, they're doing all they can to keep a lid on the situation, keep it under control, but God has a different agenda and a different purpose and a different goal. They're setting up the guard, putting the seal on to prevent a false resurrection, but God takes their actions and uses them for his own purpose. He usurps. He takes over. He appropriates what they have done. He takes them over and makes them serve the kingdom of God so that whether they are willing or not, they will proclaim by their actions and by the witness of what they have done, they will proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. The seal of the earthly authorities must yield to the greater power and authority of the kingdom of God. He has placed his seal, on the sacrifice, on the death, and on the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And now the lesson for us is that we are sealed by God. And the whole idea of the seal is transformed. We are sealed by God, marked by the blood of Jesus, marked by the cross, and given the Holy Spirit to call us and sustain us in faith. That's why we read the passage from Revelation about the angels being sent to mark the people of God on their foreheads. Because you are marked and set aside by God for his kingdom. And that takes us back to where we began all of this. Back to Ash Wednesday, when we had the sign of the cross marked on us. And you could go back into the Old Testament and see how the people of Israel in Egypt had their doors marked with the blood of the Passover lamb in the shape of the cross. Much later, when Israel had turned away from God and into sin, and when God was ready to abandon Jerusalem for a time, the prophet Ezekiel sees a vision, Ezekiel chapter 9, of an angel sent through the city to mark the foreheads of the faithful with, well, it was the Hebrew letter tau, which was a T or a cross shape, T tilted about 45 degrees. So the sign of the cross is placed on the heads of the faithful. And we see that sign and we see that name of God put on us. And we watch it happen over and over again when somebody comes to the waters of baptism and they are marked and set aside by God, by his name, by his sign, by his water, by his word, and called to belong to him. We are sealed by God. And now let's turn the whole thing around one more time and realize how on the other side God says that he marks himself with us and for us. Isaiah 49. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. The seal of our salvation is there in the hands of Jesus. Because the kingdom of God really is the kingdom of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this Lamb of God has called you his own. In Jesus' name, amen.